We're going to be in Acts chapter number 13 tonight, Acts chapter 13. This being our missions month, I've really been praying for just the last couple of months, really, that the Lord would give some clarity and direction regarding the messages that He would have for us to consider. One of the things that I think that we need to continually be reminded of is obviously our responsibility in the furtherance of the gospel around the world, but also the privilege that it is to be part of a church that is about that business. And that has, we have several different aspects in which we do that. One is just our local outreach, as we're trying to find ways to engage the community with the gospel and tell others about Christ. Of course, we ought to be, all of us, in our own personal lives, interacting with people within our sphere of influence, our coworkers, family members, classmates at school, our neighbors, people that we run into in the community. We should always be witnessing, sharing the gospel. I encourage you to take tracts with you and pass them out to people and share the gospel everywhere that you go. That's part of what we do. But that doesn't accomplish the commandment to go beyond our borders, beyond where we are. Jesus said that we are to go into all the world. Now, there are other aspects of that as well. One is that there needs to be people that are surrendering to go. And that's going to happen from places like this one. People willing to say, yeah, here am I, like we heard this morning, here am I, send me. I'm concerned personally that too often Christians view that aspect of the Great Commission as someone else's job. Like, I need to be faithful in witnessing and stuff here, but it's someone else that needs to go, somewhere else. And that may be the case, but I believe that every child of God ought to be saying, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go there. And if that's here, and then that's fine, and I'll be a voice for you and a voice for truth and a witness of the gospel here in my own community. But if you would have me to go somewhere else, if you would have me to go to another country, to another place, to another people, a place that's unfamiliar to me, a place that may be outside of my comfort zone, I'm willing to do that as well. So every one of us should be willing to go. And then, of course, we have the privilege and the opportunity to partner with those who have gone and are going. And we do that through our mission support, in addition to our giving to the needs of the church and in our local community. We give through our Faith Promise program above and beyond that to missions and missionaries. And we support currently in the neighborhood of 30 missionaries and ministries that are for the furtherance of the gospel around the world and globally. And so we're involved in that. And I want to remind you that if you are keeping up with these missionaries, you're reading their prayer letters, you're praying for them, you're giving to missions, you are, in a sense, partnering with them in the work. And you're enabling them and helping them to do what they're doing. And according to Philippians 4, that fruit that they are bearing is abounding to your account. And so that's another area and aspect that we have the privilege of being part of as a church, is in the support, both financial and prayer support, of our missionaries. And I think it's important that we're reminded of that we consider that. But also then through the course of this month, it's my desire to just kind of look at some biblical examples and instruction in regard to how we do this. How do we accomplish the commission that God has given us, the mission that God wants us to do? We talked on Wednesday night about the importance of multiplication and discipleship, and we'll, Lord willing, get a little bit more specific about the how as the month goes on. But one of the things that I felt the Lord would have me to deal with is something that we find right here in Acts chapter 13. We're going to read this in just a moment. It's been said before that the measure of the health of a church is not in its seating capacity, but in its sending capacity. And that really is what we see happening here in Acts chapter 13, is the first, if you will, the first missionaries are being sent from a church to go and accomplish this work. And so I'll let you remain seated tonight, but we're going to be in Acts 13, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says here, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." And if we were to keep reading, you would find that this chapter and the next chapter detail what we refer to often as Paul's first missionary journey, as he and Barnabas went out and they traveled around preaching and leading people to Christ, baptizing them. Churches were left behind. And then by the end of chapter 14, they return back to Antioch. Chapter 15, and they go out again, and they continue the work. And three different times in the life of the Apostle Paul, we see him coming from a church and being sent to go and do this work that he had been called to do. And so I want to just take some time tonight, and I understand that just the nature of this maybe is a little bit more instructional than anything else, but I think it's really important for us to really consider this and understand what God has told us in His Word regarding the plan and the pattern for biblical missions. And the reason that that is important is because this is our job. And so we need to follow God's pattern. We need to know what God has said so that we know how to pray and we know what to do, okay? And so I want to just emphasize something tonight. And that is, it comes from verse number 2. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" So he makes something very clear here, that God had already placed a calling on Barnabas and Saul. That man, that Saul being obviously eventually the Apostle Paul that we know. Okay, so God had already called them. And I want you to notice also, and this won't be the emphasis tonight, but he didn't call them to a particular place. He called them to a work. He said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The work. So they had been called. That was already a done deal. They were already aware of the calling that God had placed on their lives. But they did not go until. Until what? Until they were sent forth. Sometimes we get the idea in our mind that, you know, the responsibility for missions is every individual Christian. And there's a sense in which that is true. But it's not like God just said to all Christians everywhere, "Go, go." He actually said, "Go ye." In Matthew 28, "Go ye." What's interesting about that is the word "ye" is not singular, it's plural. So he's speaking to them not just in an individual sense, but an institutional sense. And he says to his church, "Go, you, plural, all of you are to go." But Romans chapter 10 tells us that in order for a person to be saved, they have to believe on Christ. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But then it says this, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" There is actually a sending that is to take place from the institution. Individuals are to be sent to accomplish the work. And it's not something that we just take upon ourselves. It's not something that we just do. Now, as again, as members of this body, we bear that responsibility. And all of us ought to be evangelizing everywhere we go. I heard a Christian say one time, well, I would never want the gift of an evangelist. Well, here's the thing. You're supposed to be an evangelist whether you hold that gift or not. You are to be evangelizing. You are a preacher. Did you know that? You're a preacher. You may not be called to stand behind a pulpit and declare something to the church as a whole, but you are called as a child of God to be a proclaimer of the gospel to other people. And so you are to be doing that wherever you are. That is what God wants you to do. But this idea of going forth with the gospel, it's always connected in Scripture with being sent. It is not just something that we take upon ourselves. It is something that we are to do and be sent from and with the authority of the church. And so I want to just bring that out to you tonight, that in the Bible, the sender is always a church. The church is the sender. Notice it says in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. And it goes on from there. This is something that God did in that church. Now you might look at me and say, well, Pastor, what does that matter? Here's why that matters. There are a lot of very well-meaning Christian people who love the Lord, but really what they're trying to do is they're serving outside of the New Testament church. They're serving with various organizations that are, you know, dedicated to certain things. And I'm not trying to just, you know, put people down or anything like that. But it's what we would refer to as parachurch organizations. These organizations that are designed and developed for the furtherance of the gospel, which I'm thankful for. But God gave one institution to carry forth His work here on earth. When Jesus left this earth, He didn't leave a mission board. He didn't leave an evangelistic organization. He didn't leave a Bible college. He left a church. And that has been the pattern from the beginning, that the Lord gave His commandment and gave His authority to the New Testament church, and therefore we are to carry out that work in and through God's ordained institution. And so it was the church. It was the church at Antioch that sent forth these men. When we send forth missionaries to go and do this work, there's a twofold reason for that. Number one is we are giving them authorization. Number two, they are serving as an extension. What I mean by that is this. By authorization, here's what we're doing. We as a church are recognizing what has already been a reality. We are recognizing God's particular calling and gifting of a man or men to go and do this work. We are acknowledging that this is not something that a man dreamed up in himself, that it's obvious, not just to him, but to the brethren, that God is in this thing. Okay? If you look at this, verse number 2, again, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Who is the Holy Ghost speaking to? He's not speaking to Barnabas and Saul, because He's talking about them in the third person. So He's speaking, I believe, grammatically, probably to the leaders, to the pastors of this church, or we could maybe infer that to the church as a whole. He's saying to them, it is now time for these men who I have already called to be sent forth. Why does that matter? Well, because the call to preach, whether it be to pastor, to be a missionary, whatever it is, that calling is a very individual, specific thing that happens personally in the life of a Christian, okay? I cannot call you to the ministry. I can't do that. That's God's job. And it's something He has to do in your heart, in your life. However, if God is doing that in your life, it's going to be evident, not just to you, but to others around you as well. That's going to be proved out through your gifts, through your faithfulness. Okay, the Bible gives lots of examples of this, even when it comes to the fulfilling of offices within the church. For instance, deacons, it says, let these first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon. There's supposed to be a proving that takes place to where the church can recognize, oh, this person is qualified. This person, we see God's hand on him. When Paul asked Timothy to come with him and join him in the work in Acts chapter 16, the Bible tells us that he was well reported of the brethren that were in that place. There was something about that man that was recognized by those around him, by no doubt his pastors, by maybe older people in the church who'd observed him and watched him and could see God's hand is on this man to do this work. And so even though he had been called previously, there was this authorization or recognition that was taking place in the sending forth. Barnabas and Saul had been called for the work whereunto I have called them. That is a past tense thing, but he's saying to the church, it's time for you to now recognize my calling on their life, to authorize them and send them forth to this work and recommend them, if you will, to the work that I've called them to. So there's an authorization that goes with that. And I find it fascinating that so often we try to go around this, and when I say we, I'm speaking very generally. People try to go around the authorization of a sending church, but who knows, who observes your spiritual gifts, your faithfulness, your testimony more than your church family? Listen, and again, I'm not trying to criticize people, but when a missionary goes and they apply to a mission board somewhere to be sent through that board doesn't know anything about them. I mean, they have to fill out a doctrinal statement probably, and you know, some things like that. But that board hasn't been able to observe them and see them and serve alongside of them, right? But guess what? Their church family has. And the church family, who's following the direction of the Lord, seeking God, they're going to be able to see if God has his hand on this person. And so there's this authorization that goes with it. But more than just the authorization, there's also an extension. They're serving as an extension. When we support these missionaries, and this hallway to my left, your right, has those letters that hang on the wall of these missionaries that we support on a monthly basis. The reason for that, the reason that we support them is not just because we like them or that we believe in the work that they're doing. Obviously we do, or we wouldn't support them. But we're actually partnering with not just them, but with their sending church. And there's a certain degree of acceptance that they have with us because they've got credibility because of the church that they're sent from. And we recognize that really what they're doing is they, as members of that church, are going to another place and they are extending the ministry of that church. When we send forth a missionary from this place, they're not just going out to do their work somewhere out there beyond, you know, they're actually doing our work. They're fulfilling what God has given us to do. And they are the ministry leader of our ministry in that place. That's how that works. And so this sending forth, it has to do with an authorization, but it's also an extension. In other words, the church has a role in this. The church has a part in it. It's not just something that they choose for themselves or go and do themselves. It ought to be a partnership. And because of that, this is another reason that we're really not big fans around here of mission boards and clearing houses and all that, because what they're doing is they're trying to relieve the church of the responsibility of the oversight and the care of that missionary. They're taking it upon themselves to hold that missionary accountable, to handle their finances and direct them in that way. These are things that the church ought to be doing. Why? Because it's the church's ministry. And so they're going and they're serving as an extension of the church. And so when they sent them forth, and we see this, that they were always connected to that church that is at Antioch there. I want to show you that this is the pattern. Acts chapter 15, we see that this is kind of plays out throughout the New Testament, that those who are sent from a church are serving as an extension of the church. So the church is the sender, and they are serving as an extension of the church. Acts chapter 15, verse number 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." So what we really have now through the rest of chapter 15, most of the rest of chapter 15 is this kind of doctrinal debate that's taking place in the church in Jerusalem with Paul and Barnabas there. Do people really have to be circumcised in order to be saved? No, they're saved by grace through faith in Christ. And so, but don't miss this. Why did Paul and Barnabas go to Jerusalem to deal with this issue? It was not because Jerusalem was the headquarters of all Christians, so Paul and Barnabas needed to get approval from Jerusalem. That's not why. Okay, there are some people who teach that this was the first church council, that somehow this was kind of a gathering, a meeting of the minds, and then the official word came down from Jerusalem, and then everybody else fell in line. That's not it at all. Why did Paul, if that were the case, Paul would have made it a point when he first got saved to go to Jerusalem, but he didn't. He didn't. Galatians makes that clear. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. He didn't go to the church of Jerusalem. He just stayed there in Damascus and served in the church there. Okay, why? Why did they go to Jerusalem? They went to Jerusalem because this heresy was coming from some individuals who had come from, guess where, the church in Jerusalem. That's what it says in verse 15. Certain men which came down from Judea. Judea is that region of Israel. They came from Jerusalem. And so they come and they're bringing this heresy and they're causing confusion with these people that Paul and Barnabas are working with. And so Paul and Barnabas, they disputed with them, but they didn't stop there. They said, you know what, we need to go back to your own church and we need to deal with this with your pastors. And we better make sure that that church hasn't gotten corrupted. And so they go back there and they have this discussion with the apostles and elders that are there at Jerusalem. And guess what happens? The apostles and elders at Jerusalem end up sending letters to these churches that have been defiled by these men and correcting the heresy. Why did they have the authority to do that? Because these men were an extension of that church. And so what we're seeing, folks, and I'm just trying to show you that this is the pattern that we find throughout the New Testament. That when men are sent to go and do the work, they're not some lone wolf out there on their own. They're sent as an extension of the church that they are under. They're under the authority of that church. And so the church is always the sender. As we go back to Acts chapter 13, I want to show you this also. Those who were sent were those who were already serving. Those who were sent were those who were serving. Verse number 1 of Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. There is, in the Bible, there is a pattern of sending those who are busy about the work of the Lord. In other words, It's not like this. You've got in a church, you know, some people who are busy, some people who are active doing the work, and then others sitting on the sideline, and God says, hey, we need to mobilize those guys over there that aren't doing anything. Let's go send them across the world. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Who does God want us to send? Well, those who are busy serving. Now, to me, it might make sense to say, you know what? These people aren't doing anything. We got a job. Let's go send them over there. But why would we not do that? Well, because when you're sent out from a church, there are some battles that you're going to face. There are some difficulties that are there. And the truth of the matter is, if you're not busy serving in your church, you're not going to serve out there. That's just the way it is. And so, I personally have heard of, I haven't known too many of these, but I've actually heard of churches that send missionaries, and they're somewhat relieved when they go. Because it's like, boy, they're always a little bit contentious. They're not really doing that much here. I guess we're glad they're going over there, you know. Listen, that's not the pattern. That's not a good thing to do. Okay, a person needs to be proven faithful first. And one of the lessons that I learned early on in ministry and pastoring, it was a really hard lesson to learn. One of those that you learn it the hard way. I have this thought in my mind. You know, here are some people, and I'm not pointing to anyone over here. I'm just in general, right? There are some people here in the church that aren't doing very much. You know, maybe they come to church, they sit, but they're not involved, they're not serving, they're not active, right? So in fact, maybe they're even kind of hit and miss in attending. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to find some ministries to get them plugged into. Because maybe if they've got some responsibility, then it'll give them some incentive, you know, and give them some buy-in, and it'll help them to get more involved. You know what I found every time I did that? It was nothing but constant headaches. It was constant headaches. I'm reading through Proverbs, and I read that verse that says, confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is getting pretty frustrating. Because, man, I give this guy a job to do, and one of the jobs he's supposed to be doing is driving the bus on Sunday morning. And, you know, Sunday school starts at 9:45, I think it started, and at 9 o'clock I'm getting a call, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it today. And now I've got to drive the bus before I preach to pick up the kids. Or those kinds of things. Or I got someone teaching a Sunday school class, they just don't show up, and we got to, you know, fill someone in. And I'm starting to get all frustrated, and I'm thinking, man, this is ridiculous. And one day I'm reading through Matthew 25, where the Lord is giving that parable about giving talents, you know, to his servants. And for the two that actually did something with their talent, this is what he said to them. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. And it was like a light bulb came on in my head. Faithfulness is not taught by giving someone responsibility. Actually, responsibility is earned through faithfulness. And so when we look in the scriptures and this idea of sending forth missionaries to do the most important work that we do as a church, the furtherance of the gospel around the world, do you know who we need to be looking for? The cream of the crop. That's who we need to be looking for. Those who are active, those who are serving, those who are going to leave a hole when they leave. And let me tell you something, that is a painful thing. That's a hard thing, to give up the best. But let me ask you, does God deserve any less than our best? No, when a missionary is sent forth, there should be a hole that's left behind. It should be those who are hard to see him go, because they mean so much to the church by way of their service. That's the way it ought to be. We have here in the room tonight several young people who either believe that God has called you to a ministry, or you're at least surrendered and yielded to say, yeah, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'm willing to do. And let me speak to you, especially young men. You better be busy about the work of the Lord right where you are. And don't be looking ahead and thinking to yourself, someday, you know, when I get through this, when I finally land the job that I want, when I finally finish my education, when I finally get married, in the future, then I'll get... No. You be busy about the work of the Lord now. If you expect that we as a church are going to send you forth at some point, you're going to have to prove yourself. You're going to have to demonstrate by your actions, by your faithfulness, that yes, the Lord is in this. It's not just some whim in your own mind, in your own heart, but God is in this. God is in it. Prove yourself. Prove yourself. They sent those that were ministering, and as they ministered, the Lord made it very plain and very clear to the church. And I want you to notice that it says in verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I can imagine that was not an easy thing for them to do. I mean, if you had the Apostle Paul, I mean, here's the greatest missionary who's ever lived, other than the Lord Jesus. One of the greatest theological minds that the world has ever seen. Just read the epistles. A man who knew what it was to truly walk with God. A man full of the Spirit and power of God. That was Paul. Then you got Barnabas, who's that son of consolation, that's just a discipler, he's an encourager, he's a helper, and you've got these men, and these are some of, this is the pastoral staff of your church. And God says, now send them away. That'd have to be hard. But what'd they do? They fasted, and they prayed. They sought the will of the Lord. It wasn't just their will. It wasn't just their idea. It wasn't something that they conjured up in their own minds. They fasted and they prayed and they sought the will of the Lord. And when it was clear that this is God that's leading in this, you know what they did? They sent them away. They sent them. I told you the church is the sender. They, the church, sent them. But look at verse number 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, which was it? Were they church sent or were they God sent? And the answer is yes. God blesses and God honors it when we follow His pattern. And this is what they did. So they sent them forth. They commanded them to the Lord, and the Lord blessed it. And they were sent forth not just by the church at Antioch, but by the Holy Ghost Himself. They had God's stamp of approval, but God didn't do that outside of the church. He sent them through the church. And by the way, I would like to remind you that they never left their affiliation with the church at Antioch. Let's go over to chapter 14 and look at this. Into chapter 14 and verse number 25, it says, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So you have them completing this first journey that they were on. A couple of years they're gone doing this work. And they come back to town, and guess what? They're not forgotten. It's not like, oh, yeah, I remember Paul and Barnabas. Yeah, I remember you guys. No, 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 it wasn't that at all. They come back to Antioch, and it says when they were come, they gathered the church together. I mean, they had special meetings here. Oh, I guess we'll wait till Sunday. Hey, we've got a 10-minute video that we'd like to show you. But no, no, no. It says that they gathered the church together, and they rehearsed the highlights of what God had done. No, no, no. It says that they rehearsed all that God had done with them. I mean, hey, we're going to tell you everything. Why? Because it's your work as much as our work. That's what they're saying. This is our work. And there they abode long time with the disciples. So they go back to Antioch. They spend this time with the church at Antioch. They fill in the church with what's going on. And we go over to chapter 18. They've been out again and done a work. And now Paul comes back again. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening the disciples. So you've got him again, going back to Antioch, spending time with them. Why? Because Antioch was more than just a place he used to serve. It was more than just a launching point for his ministry. It was his sending church. And it mattered to Paul, and it mattered to the church at Antioch, that they were partners in the work. Friends, I want to tell you something that is a prayer of mine. I know sometimes I pray it publicly from the pulpit, but I pray it often in private, that the Lord would raise up from Mount Zion Baptist Church men who we could send forth to do the work that we've been given to do. That's the biblical pattern. The church is the sender. We are to send those who've been called, those who are faithfully serving, those who the church recognizes and sees, yes, God is in this. This isn't just some whim of their own. And if we'll do this according to the Bible pattern, I believe God will bless as he did here in Acts 13. That they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. What is our sending capacity? Would you be willing to say, Lord, here am I. As we heard this morning, here am I. If this is what you would want me to do, then I'm willing to do that. But until that time, I'm going to be real busy serving you right here where you have put me.